Good. So welcome, everyone. We're going to have a very interesting session discussing decentralized apps and mainly bringing cryptocurrencies to millions of consumers. We have an amazing panel today, and maybe a good start would be to ask the audience, how many of you actually hold a cryptocurrency? Just one type of cryptocurrency? Can you like raise your hand? So we have like a few hands. And how many are actually using a cryptocurrency on daily basis or using dApps? So we have one person, which is exciting. Daily. So I think the goal for this session is try to understand how we can bring cryptocurrencies to millions of users. And to start this panel, I will ask my panelists to introduce themselves, like each one. So can you tell a bit about where you're coming from and tell us about the projects you're working on?
Sure. My name is Charles, and I'm leading all the crypto efforts at Opera. And what we're building right now is the first Web3 browser. So really a browser that makes it seamless to transition into this new world of dApps and removing a lot of the friction that exists today in trying out these new types of applications.
Mm-hmm. And today is a very exciting day specifically?
Yes, so today we actually announced now that we released the full public release of our new browser on Android mm-hmm. that has this functionality built in of being able to transact and explore this new web. You know, in a very easy manner for normal people.
That's super exciting.
Yeah, yeah. We think this is a game changer for mainstream adoption.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Charles.
My name is Cassidy. I'm leading the Kittyverse at CryptoKitties. So this is supporting developers to extend CryptoKitties into new places. If you have a cat currently, you can do two things with it, breed it or sell it. And we're relying on third-party developers in the ecosystem of the community to take those cats to new heights.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Makoto. I'm based in London, and I wear two hats. And for first hat is ENS, Ethereum Name Service. So like ENS is a bit like DNS in the Ethereum world. That like most of Ethereum addresses is very long, like hexadecimal, long address which you can't even spell. So I have a business card which has a ENS name called matoku.eth. So I can say send me ETH to matoku.eth. So that's my first hat. And second hat is like I'm co-founder of the dApp called Kickback, which is an event management dApp. Like, for example, today, probably people have RSVP'd on many of the events, but you might not have turned in. So in our case, we ask you to commit ETH, which if you don't turn up, you lose, and we share with the people who came. So like if this event, half the people didn't come, you might be pissed if your friends didn't come, but at least you got your ETH back, ETH plus up more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great, so maybe a question for each one of you. Could you tell us more about how many users who are like the target audience for the products you're building and how the products are growing? So maybe Cassidy, you can go first.
Sure, so I work specifically on the Kittyverse. This is supporting developers, and those developers have their own audiences. We currently have 50 published apps, so these are projects that already exist and you can use and play, or some of them are tools, some of them are games, and there's about 100 developers in our program total. So we launched about 4 months ago, offering API tokens to our public API, and we've really seen it take off quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we launched this browser in beta form a few months back, and the reception from the community has been amazing. So the crowd that was initially interested was more on the developer side, mm-hmm. so in the tens of thousand range, and then now we're extending it to the full public release. So there we have a combined user base of over 300 million users. So this is really a big number in the crypto space by orders of magnitude, and you know, that's the kind of scale at which we operate at, and we hope that a lot of people get to try dApps this way.
Mm-hmm. So both projects can potentially be a game changer for bringing dApps.
Yeah, I think there's a kind of a symbiosis of us enabling these dApps to and making them accessible, and developers making dApps that now have an audience that's easy to reach.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to share?
So ENS is basically an infrastructure service on the Ethereum wall. So I think there's about 20, 30 million unique Ethereum addresses existing now. So like, our goal is that everything has names. But in reality, to own the Ethereum ENS name, you have to go through like 7 days auction. And currently there's about 400,000 names got auctions, but actually in reality about 40,000 addresses in use. So our mission is to increase the more adoption within the Ethereum world. Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on KIN, which is a separate cryptocurrency. KIN today is one of the top 10 most used cryptocurrencies already, and it's been integrated obviously into the Kik Messenger, the company that initiated KIN, but also into tens of others, different apps, existing consumer apps that introduce the cryptocurrency to their users. So KIN has been integrated into apps like Swelly, Perfect 365, and like other apps. We also have like a developer program with tens of developers building. And maybe like from my experience, a big challenge is around the user experience and how you help regular users, not crypto enthusiasts, to actually use cryptocurrency on a daily basis. Would you share some of your challenges with like building the experience for mass market adoption and not only for traders or investors? Maybe whoever wants to go first.
Yeah, so part of it is education. So there's a lot of new terminology that's so far, it's been very much towards developers. So the terminology has grown and has grown in complexity. So we need to reduce that, the number of new words and new concepts, and perhaps have metaphors that people can relate to. So that's one thing that we've really tried to minimize in this offering, in this new browser, is to really lower the number of new terms people have to learn.
Any tips around that? Like what words are you using that are easier?
Well, just the first example that comes to mind is this backup phrase that people are often confronted with, which is important, but a lot of wallets refer to it as mnemonic phrase or seed phrase, we try to reword that towards backup phrase so that people understand backup, but also we don't try to confront the user to this big step of saving these words unless they actually start using dApps and start engaging and seeing value. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started CryptoKitties, we were introducing the world to digital cats, and we were teaching people how to breed cats together, and we were trying to tell them that this is really valuable and you need to go through MetaMask and you need to do this on a Chrome browser and you need to jump through all these hoops in order to play this silly game. And it's important for us to remember that we're building tools for these people. Like, they don't understand why they need to go through all of these steps, and like, what is Know Your Customer and what is a seed phrase and what is a Chrome extension? Like, these aren't really questions that they're asking themselves. And so I just trying to think of that person and empathize with that person. And when I taught my mom how to use a CryptoKitty and breed her cat with my cat, it was like, these are the people that we're really trying to introduce to blockchain. And it's tricky to do that when we're not speaking the same language. When I look at what is happening in the Kittyverse and the people that are building dApps on top of CryptoKitties, so you bought a cat, now what? And these are third-party developers that are building all types of different tools, and they're looking at ways to extend their audience beyond just our audience. They don't want to be zero in on just the people that we're servicing. They'd like to open that up to other people, and some of the solutions that they're coming to are really interesting as well. This idea of, hey, can I lend you my cat so that you can play my game, or can I lend you a wallet with some cats in it so that you can play my game, and then perhaps maybe you'll be more invested to jump through these hoops later on.
Mm-hmm. Like avoiding the purchasing of Ethereum directly. Yeah. It's smart. Mm-hmm.
So for ENS, the very fact that people start using ENS itself like help the like an adoption, making it user to use. But currently owning the name itself is quite hard because you have to go to 7 days auction process. There's two ways we are approaching it. One is like once you own the domain name, you can actually give subdomain to everybody. So we are aligning with lots of other dApp developers. For example, Gitcoin is quite popular among giving the bounty to anyone who solve the issues on GitHub. And when they user sign up to Gitcoin, as part of the user sign up, they actually issue the ENS name. So I already have like a makoto.gitcoin.eth. So like I kind of approaching this is like a Hotmail moment. Like, you know, by issuing subdomain for your app, like people start advertising your, you know, name, like whenever, like, hey, this is my ETH address. And if you have your domain address, that's great advertising. So that's where we're trying to increase by the use of subdomain. And also another thing is currently, so this one is ETH address, but we are also working with the DNS provider so that if you can prove that you own certain DNS, such as like I have matoken.xyz, mm-hmm. I can actually say, hey, send me ETH to matoken.xyz as well, so that like rather than going through the auction process. And we are all even partnering with the DNS registrar that if you create, for example, matoken.lux address, mm-hmm. they actually automatically tie in the Ethereum address. So if you have the domain name, you're automatically, you know, associated with the Ethereum address. That's one of the stuff that we're mm-hmm. working on.
So maybe that's a good opportunity to talk more about some of the challenges when we introduce KIN initially and try to expose that to thousands of users initially. CryptoKitties hit, right? And we reached like 5,000 wallets, and then transaction speeds were like really slow, and fees were very, very high, and basically like we had no choice but eventually to move away from Ethereum. And today we run our own blockchain because we have hundreds of thousands of users using KIN on a daily basis. I wonder like what are the technological challenges you're facing around scale and again like bringing cryptocurrencies to millions of users, which is the end goal, right? Like moms and pops adoption and not only developers or specifically crypto investors. So can you share some of the challenges?
So at Opera, we see our role as enabling developers to build, right? So we're extending the web platform with this new capability. So in regards to your question, we see that we want to support developers when they say, I want to adopt this new sidechain, or I want to connect to this. We heard a lot about Loom SDK. A lot of blockchain games are moving to that SDK. So we want to make sure that our browser works well with these new emerging scaling technologies.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at the future, do you see like Opera support other tokens besides Ethereum?
Yeah, so I'm not ready to announce anything today, but we're not close to that. I think Ethereum in particular has gathered a lot of momentum, both on the developer interest, in the tooling, in the decentralization, and also in the utility. You see a lot of apps being made on that platform. So we want to support that, and if other platforms emerge, we're not close to that mm-hmm. opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I guess you can share some of like the challenges you're facing with CryptoKitties, especially around like the huge growth, the hype, and then like the scaling and technological challenges.
Yeah, I think of in the second week when we launched and we had 52,000 people try and sign up for an account, and they successfully signed up for an account, but only 11,000 were able to successfully buy a cat, and that alone was 25% of the Ethereum traffic. I was like, that's, yeah. We're not gonna get anywhere with that. And it speaks to one part of how difficult it was to actually get a cat, but also to how slow it was. And we got a lot of support emails wondering what was going on and why things were taking so long. And so communicating that, hey, there's a lot of things that need to happen here, and just be patient is one thing that we need to keep in mind. Similar to Charles, is we see the issue, and it's not something that CryptoKitties can talk about yet, but we're definitely looking for solutions as well. It's like, how, if we're going to make this mainstream, we need to make sure that it can support mainstream audiences. Mm-hmm.
So one thing about scaling is that scaling fast became very problematic back in 2017 when the ICO started popping up. Yeah. And the whole thing about that scaling issue was the fact that it was a spike. That because there's a limited spot, people try to go everywhere, right? So whereas when we did the initial kind of name server service launch, we actually tried to spread across 3 months. So even though we had quite a lot bit of traffic, as long as you can design your application to avoid these kind of spiking, spikes. You can actually mitigate a certain extent, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. When I think about the direction KIN is taking, so KIN is approaching existing apps and developers that already have millions of users, like Kik, like some other examples for developers we have, and we help them integrate a cryptocurrency into their apps. Those apps are usually centralized apps, but once they integrate a cryptocurrency, the value exchange becomes decentralized. The approach that the three of you are taking is really helping build decentralized apps. So can you talk a bit about what are the advantages of decentralized apps, and why do you think those are important?
So I think decentralization has some advantages, certainly in the identity space. And this is a place where we see the browser playing a more active role in the future, that through this browser integration, users can have decentralized identities, so self-sovereign identities that they can then use to identify themselves with their real identity or anonymously to sites without depending on third parties.
So the identity layer, like decentralizing
the identity that. Layer, I see as makes total sense for decentralization.
Today, most users probably use Facebook Connect or Google Connect. Yeah. Do you see that change in the future?
Well, yes, because both, I think there's an awareness that's growing amongst internet users that, you know, having these centralized data sources may not be such a good thing in the long run. But also, it's one of the use cases that's already better today with today's state of the blockchain technology and browsers. Like even today, you can log into sites using a crypto wallet embedded in a browser without, you know, creating a username, a password, and all that. So that's already a better use case. You don't need to buy crypto to get value out. So I'm a big fan of the identity layer for decentralization. And then you have the value transfer, of course, that without trusted intermediaries, apps and people can exchange value through their participation in one app, or and that becomes native to the web. So mm-hmm. Big win for
in many ways it seems like that was the original intention for the web, and something went wrong along the way, so it's almost like getting back to the original way the web was supposed to work.
It's a missing piece that we now have, mm-hmm. so it's just going to grow in importance. Mm-hmm.
I look at what's happening in the Kittyverse right now, and you can take your cat and maybe you want to go play Kitty Hats or Kitty Battles or Kitty Tinder or whatever these other experiences are. And you can log in with CryptoKitties, and you can take your wallet full of cats, and you can pick the players, like your cats that are going to be the avatars, and you can do different things with different cats, and you can breed cats for certain purposes. But these cats can go in other experiences outside of CryptoKitties. And if we take this token as a symbol of something bigger, like maybe it's not a cat, it's a cat today, but other people are also building 721 tokens and these NFTs, so those could go and extend into other games, and those tokens themselves can own tokens as well. So your cat can have a hat, sounding a little bit like Dr. Seuss, but bear with me. Yeah. And if that hat all of a sudden has new powers or new meaning, and you can take those artifacts into other games, and you can take that cat and its wallet and the things that it owns, and it becomes a lot more interesting. And so the cat is centralized, mm-hmm. but it lives in this whole NFT universe, which I think could be really cool. Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, we're out of time. I think this session is super, super interesting and super relevant. And I think that the right way is like to continue the conversation, obviously with each one of you after this session and like following up. And I wanted to thank you. It was super, super interesting. Thank you.